Welcome back to the studio here at the Bob Davis Podcast. It's Friday night. Usually I post the Bob Davis Podcast radio show a little earlier. It is the high point of my week. This week it is not the high point of my week, partly because I'm going to be working all weekend. Secondly, because I had to push production of the show back due to fast-breaking news starting Wednesday night with the officer-involved shooting in Falcon Heights. Then it continued with the viral video, and it continued with what happened in Dallas. And yet, even tonight, it continues with developments in Dallas and things people are saying and so forth. And I don't want to go in too much in depth. I want to get to these segments as quickly as possible. But I ended up having to delay the show and produce it today, Friday, because I didn't feel that it was, I just didn't feel that I could do it because of the, you know, the thing about radio is it has more immediacy. Podcasts, timeliness is not that important, but it is for the radio. And I went back and forth because I debated just building a whole new show and posting it as a whole new podcast because I didn't really like what I'd done. I took the last podcast I did and kind of compressed it. So it's the stuff on Hillary Clinton. It's the stuff on the media coverage of news events, which actually is oddly appropriate. And then finally, some stuff on the economy and the most challenging aspects of our time currently, and the most challenging moral hazard that we have. And those last two segments, and actually the Hillary Clinton segment, are still pretty appropriate. The thing that I struggled with was the first segment, because it's about the officer-involved shootings. It's about the Dallas thing. And there were elements which had not happened yet when I did that part of the show. So you'll just have to take that into account, and I'm sure the people on the radio will take it into account. It's one of the problems in producing syndicated shows, which are for weekend, you know, that are fully produced shows. They're not live shows. And I think that's good in general. I don't think live radio is doing a very good job covering this stuff to begin with. But I really struggled with that first segment in terms of what I wanted to say. And I'll play it, and then I'll come back and comment on it real quick, you know, afterwards. But really, we should just probably get to this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show, number 34. Here we go. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast radio show. For all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Well, this is a sober weekend after two officer-involved shootings in Louisiana and Minnesota and a sniper attack that killed or wounded several Dallas police officers during a protest on the officer-involved shootings. And before reaching for our phones or keyboards to have our say on social media, maybe we'd be better off if we just took a moment and said a prayer for those killed, period. Well, the week started off innocently enough with the standard political nonsense regarding Hillary Clinton, and I'm going to talk about that in this show, and I'll tell you why in a second. And then we descended into chaos and violence after videos of officer-involved shootings in two different states went viral, and it ended with a sniper attack on Dallas police trying to protect a peaceful demonstration by Black Lives Matter about officer-involved shootings, a sniper attack which itself was videotaped and went viral. It's very easy right now to retreat into a partisan political perimeter and blame the other side, whatever the other side is. Unfortunately, this is mostly what is on social media right now and in the commentariat and politics in our country, and it's sickening. Now, if you haven't seen the Diamond Reynolds video live streamed in the aftermath of an officer-involved shooting during a traffic stop in Falcon Heights, Minnesota, you should see it. The video shows what happened after an officer shot Philando Castile four times, maybe three times, as he reached for his identification. At least that is what Diamond Reynolds, Castile's girlfriend, says in the video. We will have to see what all the facts are in the case going forward, but it is something that is both extraordinary and shocking. You see a bloodied man dying, an emotional officer saying he told the man who has been shot not to move, and all of this with a toddler in the car during the shooting, crying in the background, and Diamond Reynolds pleading for the life of her boyfriend. Now, regardless of where you come down on the politics of officer-involved shootings involving Black people or any kind of people, if this video does not affect you emotionally, if you don't ask yourself, how could someone shoot with a child in the backseat of a car, you're dead inside. The reaction to all of this has just been stunning to me. Immediately, people started demanding that citizens should not be able to stream video on the internet. That's the first thing that happened. Facebook even took the video down. And, you know, it's amazing that Diamond Reynolds was able to maintain her composure long enough to start shooting video, because without that video, there would have been the usual mischaracterizations about Reynolds and Castile and what they did and who they were, as well as mischaracterizations about the officer by people who were not there and do not know what happened. Having the ability to stream the video or post video of an event as it happens is a constitutional right, and by no means should it be edited or taken away because someone deems it to be dangerous or offensive. Worse are the comments on social media after the officer-involved shooting in the Dallas sniper attack. The insults, the epithets, the horrible things that people are saying to each other about victims in these cases. And for what? Because they are not on the same political side as the other person, supposedly, whatever side that is. And I also should not fail to mention the ridiculous statements made by news anchors and reporters and elected officials in the wake of these stories. Demands for gun control, statements about AR-15s being sniper rifles, which they aren't, by the way, and so forth. Or the statements by politicians, including the governor of Minnesota, about the intent and the details of what happened in Falcon Heights, or the lieutenant governor of Texas blaming the attack on the Dallas police on Black Lives Matter. So today I am definitely going to discuss the decision by the FBI not to prosecute Hillary Clinton criminally for her use of a personal email server while Secretary of State. But the real reason for discussing that, the real topic, is how the lurid conceals the vital in our society, and asking really an open question, because I don't know that there is a response. Why do we allow this? Our media does not serve us anymore, and I don't know what to do about it. The media does not get the facts when they matter the most, but instead advocates when they should just shut up and let the video play and let people draw their own conclusions. Are we really a country of people who have no compassion for a group of police officers trying to ensure the right of free speech and assembly, or somebody killed by police officers at a traffic stop for whatever reason? Are we really people who can't wait to post our silly theories about what happened, what you're supposed to say to the cops, how guns are used or not used, even though we really don't know those involved, we weren't there, we don't know what happened? And especially, again, if you're an elected official. Apparently, we are that people. Apparently, this is the way we are. And on top of all this, it is all fueled by a terrible news media licking its chops over airing footage showing the worst of the human experience and airing shout fests between people who cannot wait to fan the flames of discord. A media that reports gossip and calls it news. A media that writes stories from press releases, finds time to interview people in the street who don't know anything but doesn't have the time or the resources to investigate stories as they happen, and finds time somehow to theorize, usually incorrectly, about guns, ammunition, police procedure, politics, economics, and anything else they've pointed a camera at while they talk and talk and talk and talk. This does not end well. A people cannot make informed decisions about what they are to do when the only information that they're getting is opinion and nonsense designed to fuel the flames. When everywhere they turn, they're being exhorted to fight with each other rather than to listen. And that is on all sides. I feel for those involved in these cases and their families, both for what happened and for what I am sure is going to be an onslaught of media and politicians who are going to use them for their own aims. What we need is to objectively assess whether there is a racial bias problem with policing and design a program to address it, but we also need to ask why we keep passing laws designed to control people and militarizing police forces at the state and the local level and at federal agencies. And everybody, including media, talk radio, online, presidents and governors, have to stop jumping to conclusions and rushing to judgment about what caused what and what they intend to do about it, especially on these kinds of local matters. Yes, these are serious times with serious problems almost everywhere, socially, economically, personally. And unfortunately, our media, the way we communicate, especially in our politics and especially personally, do not seem to be up to the task of solving these problems. If we're really going to be honest, the truth is we want things solved, but we don't want to do the work. We want somebody else to step up, somebody else to define the problem and its solution in a soundbite so we can shout, "So there!" Well, it just doesn't work that way. There are many things wrong in our society, and I can't talk about all of them in a one-hour show, but I am going to talk about the reaction to the decision by the FBI not to indict Hillary Clinton and the surprise at that decision in some quarters, because it just shows how siloed our media has become and how we have become so averse to listening to opinions that we don't agree with. And then I'm going to go after my favorite whipping boy, the media, because it deserves it. And finally, I'm going to suggest that if we don't figure out how to get better information and stop reacting to things on the surface, problems, especially the world's financial problems and all that comes from that, are going to become catastrophic. And then people are all going to say, "Why didn't someone tell us about this?" Well, I'm telling you now. Coming up, the only people surprised by the FBI's decision not to recommend a criminal investigation of Hillary Clinton were conservatives. Why? You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. For more of the Bob Davis Podcast, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. So yeah, just this evening, while I was eating my Chinese food that I went out to get, because I needed to carb up, I'm going to make some coffee now and just hang out and watch TV and sit on the back deck. But while I was eating my Chinese food, I was just noting there are continuing ridiculousness as a condition with politicians and commentators and people calling the president a thug and so forth and so on. You may not like President Obama, but he is indeed, you know, the occupier of the highest office in the land, the presidency, which deserves some level of respect. And people are just losing their heads. And I guess the final comment and whatever happens between now and when this thing airs on the Patriot this weekend at 4 p.m. on AM 1280 in Minneapolis and St. Paul or wherever else it airs, is just we just need to take a slowdown. And we need to just let the people who are supposed to be handling this stuff begin to try to grapple with it. We're going to have plenty of time to consider this as an issue and to cast our vote in November, both for Congress and the Senate and the presidency, as well as God knows how many local offices and issues. And then we can go on from there. But people need to take a break from telling people what they think and what caused it and who's at fault and so forth and so on. So I hope that there's some good stuff that you can take away from that first segment. And now to things that are more fun. So I think next week, in the middle of the week, I'm going to be heading out and headed for Cleveland, Ohio for the Republican National Convention by way of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. And I will be driving Mobile Podcast Command Unit 8. And I am taking contributions for diesel fuel. If you want me to get there, you're going to have to put some money in there because I've been spending money to get the front end fixed and everything else. And of course, we need cash for Mobile Podcast Command operations. It's the only thing I ever spend that money for in the PayPal account. And everybody knows by now that Mobile Podcast Command came from ex-government cars. Ex-governmentcars.com is Minneapolis's only dealer specializing in one-owner, professionally maintained government fleet cars, trucks, and SUVs. They've been a sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast for a long time. And the great thing about ex-government cars is if you need a car, you need a loan, and if you have a job, you can get one. You can be approved for a loan. And they do take trades as well. You can push it, pull it, drag it in, and they will pay the highest value without all the bull. They do it every day, actually. And don't forget the 3-day Love It guarantee exclusively at X Government Cars. I've had 3 Crown Vics and, of course, Mobile Podcast Command. And I can tell you with confidence that you need to get your butt down to X Government Cars, now open in Forest Lake, Minnesota at 356 19th Street. Or you can call them. You can contact them old school at 763-777-8782. Governmentcars.com. And just because of the nature of the situation, we're going to forgo the bullhorn tonight, in this podcast. But don't forget, X Government Cars in Forest Lake, Minnesota. Okay, here's segment 2 of this week's Bob Davis Podcast's radio show, number 34. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast radio show. For more of the Bob Davis Podcasts, you go to thebobdavispodcast.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast radio show. Before the officer-involved shootings and the Dallas sniper attack late this week, all the talk was related to the shock of the FBI announcement that it would not be recommending prosecution in the Hillary Clinton email affair. And it seemed to me that the only people that were truly surprised by this were conservatives, because the only thing they watch or listen to are media sources that tell them what they want to hear. Well, if you're a conservative, despite all the memes about Hillary Clinton being a criminal and the angry words and the predictions of the future that she was going to be indicted by all of the advocacy talk show hosts and people in media, it's no wonder that you were shocked and surprised to find out that the FBI would not seek criminal indictment or prosecution against former Secretary of State Clinton over the so-called, email affair, right? And by the way, I hate to say I told you so, but I did tell you that there would be no indictment of Hillary Clinton. The minute you start talking about politics, you fall into this partisan house of mirrors where people will listen to you if you tell them what they want to hear, and they won't listen to you if you don't tell them what they want to hear. But I would ask people who are listening, who are on both sides of the political divide, maybe you need to hear something that you disagree with a little bit. Why do I say that I predicted this? Because first of all, I did. And the reason is I looked into this because there was so much talk and so many people writing in this outrage over her emails, and she was going to go to jail, and she was going to be indicted, and everything else. And from a legal perspective, the short answer is intent is a major factor in criminal law in cases like these. In other words, what did she intend to do with the email server? Did she intend to contravene national security? That's the short answer. And I think it's a valid short answer. The long answer is really a question. And the question is here, what do you think is going to happen if Clinton goes down? Because if Clinton goes down, then Obama goes down as well, and perhaps even before he leaves office, which is why the Obama administration has closed ranks with the Clintons in two ways. First of all, we saw Attorney General Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton have a social, and I put quotes around that, meeting last week on the tarmac. He was ostensibly invited, onto her plane because it was hot out there on the tarmac or some ridiculous thing like that. And the second way that they closed ranks was that we saw President Obama campaigning with Clinton this week. Now, considering the fact that I don't believe there's any love lost between the Obamas and the Clintons, it was pretty significant, these two things, these two symbolic things that happened this week. Well, what about all the other questions? And this is now going to be the topic of conversation on talk radio and in the media and in commentary for the next couple of weeks, because we don't need to talk about the Brexit anymore, because everyone's predicted that the Brexit will cause the end of the world financially. So we don't need to talk about that. Let's move on to the next thing that we don't know anything about that we're going to talk about ad infinitum. What about all the other questions? Well, the answer to the other questions, and this includes all of them, is they don't matter and they never did. Because this is the exercise of power, plain and simple. If you thought that a Democrat administration was going to see to it that its attorney general prosecuted a former official of that administration, who, by the way, holds all the cards on Benghazi as it pertains to this president, then you're just plain dumb. What about all the other questions? Again, all the other questions don't matter either. So I have a suggestion for all the screaming and yelling and pounding and frustrated wannabe talk show hosts on Twitter and Facebook, with all the memes and the missives and the anger and the frustration and the head shaking and everything else. Win an election and keep winning elections, and all of this will eventually go away. The only problem is, then you will have to answer for your own people exercising power in ways that you did not expect. So there it is. About Benghazi, which I feel is mysteriously at the root of all this, there is a U.S. congressional report on the investigation which suggests poor management by both state and the White House on the issue of Benghazi at the time that it was going on, and that is being kind. Of course, the report is being decried as a partisan document. Numerous requests for better security ignored before the event in Benghazi. There was help available, but it was never ordered. A White House team met and talked about a video more than they actually talked about addressing the problem, which was ongoing while they met. And the president left for a fundraising event, and nobody did anything. And whether or not Hillary Clinton is to blame or President Obama is to blame, the fact is that the administration, as people were getting killed in Benghazi, they were asleep at the wheel, literally. The reason that this is political dynamite is that this was the same charge leveled against the Bush administration regarding 9/11 and then Katrina. I believe had it been revealed what actually happened with Benghazi, it could have and probably would have cost Obama the presidency. And it's pretty obvious that they covered it up with a cover story. She covered it up with a cover story. And then what she did was she turned that chit in to avoid prosecution. If you go down, I go down, and here's why. Because I know what happened in Benghazi, and I will tell what I know. Now, someday the truth on all this stuff is going to come out, but not this time, and not this year, and not in this particular election cycle. This is now a political issue. It has become a he said, she said, for example, predictably, just as Republicans would do. The Democrats have said that the panel that investigated Benghazi is a partisan panel and you can't trust anything that they say. Of course, the same thing would be said by Republicans if it had to do with some, lack of administrative capability regarding the Republicans. I think think my view of it is that the administration left those people defenseless and they were killed and they didn't have to have been killed. It's pretty obvious that there was help available, at least in the form of an F-16 from Aviano and other forces that were available that could have been sent if someone had said, for God's sakes, we've got to get people over there to protect them. It's clear from the investigation that the administration was much too concerned about the so-called Libyan response, the Libyan government's response, and everything else. Everything else at this point is now going to be a matter of political speech, and she'll be accused of being a crook and a liar, and she will accuse her detractors of being partisan and politically motivated and so forth, and you can't possibly know how difficult this is, and so forth and so on. And then you will have continuous memes and outrage, and the siloed media isn't going to change anybody's mind on this. Coming up, how the media and our political system fails us every single day, and how it probably isn't up to the task ahead. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. Welcome back to the studio. Just ahead of segment three of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show, if this week hasn't been hard enough, I have had some really interesting yoga practices. I practice every day. And aside from what's going on in the news, which is an energy sink to begin with, I've also had some really intense yoga classes and experiences, which are good, but I'm really exhausted on Friday night, and I just came from yoga. But how can I do this every day, and how can I do this intense exercise every day? Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you an example of a quick experience that I had in the last couple of days doing yoga. So Thursday nights are my double dip nights. I like to, on Thursday night, do one of those hot yogas, which is the 26 postures in 105 degree heat with 40% plus humidity, and then go do a power yoga class. And so Thursday night, I took a hot yoga class, which was really intense. Some of these hot yoga classes can get very intense, especially if you have an instructor who is going to make sure that you're in the pose exactly the required length. And you really have to work at it, and you will sweat a lot, and you will basically get yourself into a situation where you're dehydrated if you don't drink a lot of water, and if you don't drink a lot of water all day before you go to yoga. Well, one of those isn't good enough for me. I got to push it and go to the ends of the earth and go to fail, basically, by taking a power yoga class after the hot yoga class, which is even more demanding. How can I do that? Well, I'm using Hydrus, and I've talked a lot about Hydrus. This is the high-performance beverage that uses exclusive technology to deliver critical electrolytes to your muscles. You know, the other thing about doing this much exercise, doing this intensity of exercise, this level of intensity, is that, you know, you sweat out a lot of fluid, and if you're dehydrated, then you wake up the next day and you're sore. And you can muscle yourself through this stuff. You can double dip and muscle through this stuff all you want. You're going to be sore, right? And I thought soreness went with the territory. In other words, I guess what I'm saying is, if you just want to muscle through it because you're ornery, then you're going to be sore. And that's the way I was. I just was like, I'm going to do this and I don't care, and I'm going to be sore. And I thought soreness had something to do with I wasn't doing enough yoga, or I'm old, or whatever my problem is. And then I found Hydrus, and it transformed my yoga practice, because I'm no longer dehydrated. And so I wake up the next day and I'm not sore anymore. Now, the experience I want to tell you is this two-class double dip thing. So it was a really intense hot, and it was really hot, and it was very humid, and we were sweating, and we were holding poses a long time. And I thought, I think I'm going to go home. And then I sat there for a while. And this is the second week in a row that I've done this, where I've gone, you know what, I'm going in anyway. I'm going to do it. And the C2 class, the power yoga class, for me, is a really challenging teacher, really challenging class. Lots of balance in the dark. Lots of, because we do the whole candlelight thing, and it's lots of balance in the dark. Lots of flow. A lot of things that are hard to do. And I mean, I was taxed. I was pretty much at the end of the rope, but I had my Hydrus and I kept drinking the Hydrus. And the second class was great because not only did it take me to fail, but it also really challenged me. But then I went to the edge, and the edge is where you forget what day it is. You forget where you are. You're just listening and practicing. And it was amazing. And I really have to thank Hydrus for that. I talk about Hydrus because it's a great product. And I talk about Hydrus because I think it will transform whatever it is that you do, whether you cycle, you know, CrossFit, whatever your thing is that you do. It will help you take it to the edge. It will make you better at it, and you will get through it, and you'll feel better, and you won't be dehydrated. And I think that's what it's all about. So if you want to know more, join the Performance Hydration Revolution at HydrusPerformance.com. That's H-Y-D-R-U-S, HydrusPerformance.com. That takes you to their banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page, and then takes you to their website as well, where you can see all the information that you need to know about Hydrus. Lots of athletes using it, a lot of CrossFit people using it, a lot of yoga people using it. It's great stuff. Hydrus. Okay, here's segment three. Here we go. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. To hear more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. For more of the Bob Davis Podcast, or to sign up for the Bob Davis newsletter known as the Bob Line, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. Whatever the story these days, the British and the EU, Donald Trump's latest comments, Hillary Clinton and the FBI, the campaign trail, the economy, and especially what people supposedly think about things, the media, whatever it is, websites, talk radio, television, newspapers, news websites, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it's almost always wrong. The most dangerous problems in our society stem from a grossly uninformed public and a political system that feeds on that situation, and at the root of it is the media. Our media in the West, in general, doesn't report news anymore. Now, I don't know how many times that has to be said, and people cannot turn it off. You know, I go out and I speak and I talk to people and they repeat this crap, and I say to them, turn it off. And then a year later, you'll go back to the same meeting and they come up with the same stuff again that they saw on Fox or they heard on talk radio or something else. And I tell them again, turn it off. It's crap. It's not information. It's not journalism. It is not news. What it is gossip and innuendo. And actually, the gossip and innuendo reporters do a better job sourcing stories and finding out what really happened with some rock star and cocaine use or something versus something political. What they do is they make a statement, and then they use media events to prove the point without substantiating it. And it is in everything. Polls are the worst. Polls are used all the time as a reason to write a story. One of the best examples of this happened today. This is the headline, 71% of Americans believe the economy is rigged. And then it goes on to say 71% think the U.S. economic system is rigged in favor of certain groups, according to a new poll by Marketplace. The poll asked a simple question, because of course it's a simple question. The system is rigged, right? It's a simple question. Right? You don't have to think about it because you would know whether the system was rigged or not, right? Which of the following comes closer to your opinion on the economic system in the U.S.? People could select between three options. And here are the three options. Which is ridiculous. One, the economic system is rigged in favor of certain groups. Yes or no. 2, the economic system is fair to all Americans. Yes or no. 3, don't know. Those are your choices. That is junk polling because it's a far more complicated question to get to. It has to do with income. It has to do with presuppositions about our government and our system. It has to do with presuppositions about our economy. It has to do with your economic standing and your knowledge of history and so forth and so on. But what that does is that allows somebody to say at a debate, you know, Senator, 71% of the people in this country think the economy is rigged, and I agree. And then they say, and so let's go ahead and prove this. Now, we've got a clickbait headline. We've got 71% of Americans believe the economy is rigged. We've got a headline. We've got a junk poll that we can throw the result in. And then we're going to prove that this is true by simply going on to say, first of all, most selected the rigged economy, because, of course, that's true. And, of course, it doesn't matter whether the person's white, black, or Hispanic, or whether they were Republican or Democrat, or independent, which is another nonsense group. The majority feel the American dream comes with a huge asterisk that reads only for the favored few. Where was that in the question? What is the American dream? How do you define the American dream? And how does that come only for the favored few? So this is what they do. They write a gossip column to prove a political point, and then they pay off by going out and saying that the speech given by Jesse Williams, the actor, at the BET Awards recently, where he talked about the system was built to divide, impoverish, and destroy us, and it can't stand if we do, and other such polyglot rhetoric that's been clipped from different parts of history and different documents that mean different things. So the payoff, in other words, the proof that 71% of Americans believe the economy is rigged, is an actor's speech at the BET Awards, in which he put on a big act and show about being, angry about inequality when he's probably a multimillionaire, right? But you didn't hear him talking about that. So that's the proof. Well, that's what the media does in this country. Very seldom, even in the Wall Street Journal, do you not find articles that are opinion pieces disguised as news. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was written from a press release that Edison put out, that they sent a press release, they wrote the story up, and they did a few little editorializing comments and sent it out. It's not news. News would be actually seeking to put some investigative journalists on it and actually talk to some people that would be able to discuss the issue, as I have just recently, about the different parameters of what that would mean. The big study that Piketty did that shows that there's supposedly inequality and the Gini coefficient and everything else. Nobody ever explains what the Gini coefficient is. Nobody ever says that there is actually research that either contradicts what Saez and Piketty said, or is down a different way, depending on how you measure it, depending on what numbers you use, depending on whether it's pre-tax and post-entitlement transfer payments and so forth. That would take an hour and a half to discuss, but nobody wants to hear that because they don't actually want to know about the study. This is the kind of thing that fires people up, and that's all that's really important. The system is rigged. Yes, the system is rigged. Both Trump and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and everybody else shouts, the system is rigged. Yes, dummy, the system is rigged. It's called the American Republic. It was a system designed by and for aristocrats, whether they were white male landowners. It was not designed by women. There were no female or black delegates at the Constitutional Convention. It was based on similar aristocratic systems like the Roman system, the Roman Republic, the Greek Republic. All of the republics have been based on some level of aristocratic control of government, whether it's the United Provinces, Britain, Venice. All of the systems were in some way, shape, or form a synthesis of monarchy, and we have been struggling ever since to try to figure out what the balance is between that type of system and a system where that was a little bit more democratic or based more on the individuals, the populace in general. having said that, it's a pretty good system. And when combined with free markets, it allows people or encourages people or incents people to strive to become aristocrats and rule. And yes, the system was rigged. And yes, the system is rigged. But the difference between the system as it was originally intended and the system we now have is that our system is now rigged to benefit people in government, people who cut deals with government, people who get subsidies and so forth. So it's designed to be run by carefully educated elites who either are in government or business associated with it. Coming up, I'm going to turn to a subject that probably has some of the worst reporting in the media, some of the worst coverage in the media, or almost no coverage, depending on what it is. And this is economics, and this is trade agreements, and this is the world situation with central banks. What causes the lack of virtue in our society, and what is not being covered by the media as causing the lack of virtue in our society? You might be surprised at the answer. Next. Now, to hear all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. If you want to sign up for the Bob Line, the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, you can also do that at thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Back in the studio here at thebobdavispodcasts.com, just ahead of the Bob Davis Podcast radio show number 34, segment 4. Just once again, I am accepting contributions from Mobile Podcast Command because I am heading out to the RNC in Cleveland. I'm going to be in the street. I do not have credentials to the convention. I'm going by way of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan because it's been so many years since I've been there, and it's beautiful there, and it's a perfect time of the year because I'm not going in the winter. And so, again, always appreciate the contributions for diesel fuel for Mobile Podcast Command. You just go to thebobdavispodcast.com and you look for the picture of Mobile Podcast Command, find the big yellow donate button, and you can donate on that and then send contributions through PayPal. And I appreciate everybody who has contributed. Just got the front end done. The only time that the money from that account is ever used is for Mobile Podcast Command. So then after the RNC, I am going back through Chicago up to Oshkosh for the Big Air Show. And I'm going to be very, very excited to go there because, of course, Alpha Systems is going to be there demonstrating the angle of attack indicator that has saved so many people's lives. You know, there's hundreds of thousands, well over 100,000 private pilots in the United States. A lot of these guys ask, you know, why do I need this? And I'll tell you what, if you click on the Alpha Systems banner at thebobdavispodcast.com, it'll take you to a video that shows you what it is. But basically, it's a visual indicator of your angle of attack, which is so valuable when you turn on final approach. Most pilots want to get there, but most pilots want to get there safely. And so this is a great device and a great aid that makes your flight safer. It's FAA approved. If you go to EAA, look for Alpha Systems and look for Mark Korn. He'll be explaining it and demonstrating it as only he can do, as well as the whole crew. And I might be hanging around in that area as well. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcasts.com, right? Okay, here is segment 4 of this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show. You're hearing the Bob Davis Podcast radio show. Remember, for all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. Welcome to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Well, everywhere you look these days, it seems like things are starting to break down. Now, some people might chalk it all up to a lack of virtue and integrity. But what is causing that lack of virtue and integrity and respect? The answer might surprise you. The greatest challenge of our generation and the generations that will follow and the generation before us that are all alive and operating as adults in this country is how we will handle the inevitable collapse of a system which is based on presuppositions that are flat out wrong. Government policies that grow the economy or restart stalled economies by stimulating demand. Government policies that are increasingly based on credit, debasing the coin of the realm, so to speak. This is the root of all of our moral problems. This is the great moral hazard of our time. This is why people feel as though they can't get ahead. It has nothing to do with Hillary Clinton. It has nothing to do with Donald Trump. It has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that central banks across the world continue to print fiat currency and debase the coin of the realm. And this is what's causing all of the lack of virtue in our society. John Malden writes about the economy. John Malden is an investor, and he wrote this week about something called presuppositions. Dutch theologian Cornelius van Til created a philosophical school called presuppositionalism. Quote, if I know what your presuppositions are, if I know your true core foundational beliefs, I can tell you how you're going to act. I can tell you what your values are. I can tell you who you are. I know how you will ultimately interpret the scriptures. Your presuppositions determine how you act and work and think in the world. Central banks all over the world operate on a simple presupposition. They are monetizing debt at a rapid pace. Why? Because governments have spent themselves into the poorhouses believing that if they spend more and continue to spend on public works projects and give people money and provide pensions and provide for government entitlements and provide for government programs to help people, they will solve all the problems and they will stimulate the demand of the population. Too much spending, however, equals too much debt, and all debt must eventually be liquidated. Monetizing through lower interest rates, quantitative easing, and other more creative means is very difficult for people to understand because that requires a lot of reading and reporting, and nobody wants to hear that. They just want to hear that Hillary Clinton's a criminal. So that's how that goes. But 0% interest rates and less than 0% interest rates, for example, continue to fuel malinvestment across our economy and allocation of resources. What does that mean? It means that a guy who starts a company has problems borrowing money, but a bank can borrow money basically at 0% interest rates from the Fed and invest it in the markets, which are being propped up by the Fed, and make money on that money. That's what it is. And that's why you can't go to the bank and borrow money. And that's why it's hard, because people are struggling to save when you have 0% interest rates. But we have two or three basket cases in the country and in the world right now that I think people should be aware of. And I'll continue to talk about this because any of them can blow up at any time spectacularly. And they describe a potential government-caused catastrophe. And this is the real story no one wants to talk about. Europe is a basket case. China is a potential basket case with its empty cities and its profligate debt and so forth. It has been hidden. Their problems have been hidden by coverage of the Brexit and their own excellent PR. The United States is a basket case. We have less than 1% or 1% growth in the GDP. That is not enough for people to feel prosperous, because it isn't prosperous, because if you figure it in relation to inflation, we're actually not growing. And then, of course, Japan has been a basket case for the last 20 years. So you have some pretty big economies slowing down and not growing. And this is what's causing all of the consternation. And in the meantime, to address it, they are debasing the coin of the realm to, quote unquote, get people excited about buying grain and tomatoes and grapes. When the U.S. is excited about a revision from 0.5% GDP growth in the first quarter to 1.1%, you got to wonder. Some of us believe government spending, unless controlled, is misallocation. So what are we talking about? We're talking about debt. We're talking about spending and borrowing to stimulate demand. We're talking about central banks monetizing the federal debt with 0% interest rates or lower. In Europe, they're negative interest rates, and they want to do this. Corporate debt is another factor. You know, everybody talks about these companies making all this money. There's a huge amount of corporate debt right now, and they're not showing the profit that they have been used to showing. And they have not been able to get their profit numbers back up to the levels that would really indicate healthy companies. So you have slow or no profit. Plus, you have all kinds of regulation and further misallocation of resources. How does that work? Well, one of the things that people don't know about is that the economic growth numbers in the last two or three quarters is almost all quote-unquote healthcare spending. Well, what is healthcare spending? It's the insurance. Insurance is going up, and it's being reflected in the economic numbers in terms of spending, but it's not growth. It's people that are forced to spend more money to buy health insurance, which is, in a sense, a great example of misallocation. It's taking money, it's borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, but it's borrowing money from Peter to go over here and to build a bridge, or to build new bathrooms on an army base or something like that, to build roundabouts or to subsidize housing or to build a football stadium for $1.5 billion. What happens is that money is going into that thing because they think that they're stimulating jobs by employing contractors, but there are only a tiny percentage of the public that is contractors, let's say, in a football stadium, and so that's a misallocation. You can't go to a bank and start a business and borrow the money to run your business reasonably because they're misallocating all the money. And then when they go into debt to do it, where does that money come from? Do they print it? And what do they do if they print it? They can either print it or they can tax it. And so what it means is further misallocation through the printing and further misallocation through the increase of taxes to pay for the debt. And that is what is wrong with our economy. Now, there are still opportunities because we are an inventive people and the economy is a force of nature. There's tremendous opportunities in technology and entrepreneurship in the future. The problem is neither mainline candidate in this country today supports policies that would encourage this kind of development. In other words, supply-side development. Sooner or later, the world's populations are going to come to the conclusion that the current leadership that we have, and that includes both Bushes and Clintons and any future Republican or Democrat president, and all of the central banks going back to Greenspan, and some would argue the central bank going back 100 years, have been making consistently bad decisions from the get-go. They're off the rails, and now we're headed towards a catastrophic breakdown. It is unfortunate that our sclerotic political system and our terrible media, which misserves us by not actually reporting news, is slow to react to fix its own problems so that we might be better informed and better served by our politics. They have certainly provided candidates who understand the frustration and provide the rhetoric to match, but trade protectionism and making the government work better aren't new ideas, and they are not going to fix this massive potential problem brewing worldwide. More government spending, debt forgiveness, free college, forgiveness of student loans if you start a business, and single-payer health combined with trade protectionism won't fix it either. There's a new age coming. It's going to be a great age. But the question is when. It could happen any time, or it could be 30 or 40 or 50 years from now, and we could languish until a new generation of our children's grandchildren somehow stumble upon classic economics and implements it. We first have to recognize that this technological development that we have has formed a crust, if you will, a basis to push us forward. But it's going to require significant changes in how we view government and work and reward, as well as our role in the rest of the world. Well, that's all for this week's installment of the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. It's been a difficult week. Take it easy. Thanks for listening. Visit thebobdavispodcast.com and sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast's Bob Line newsletter. For all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com as well. Bye-bye. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. So that's going to do it for this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. This is probably one of the toughest shows that I've had to do because of the stuff I talked about at the beginning. Thanks once again to Hydrus for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast, and of course, xgovernmentcars.com, now open in Forest Lake at, what is the address up there? I got this here somewhere. Oh yeah, here it is, 356 19th Street in Forest Lake. They got the big lot there. You can snake through and look at the cars and the trucks, work trucks, vans, SUVs, and the great ex-government cars, Fords, Chevys, and more, the Chargers and so forth. So thanks, Ed, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts, and thank you for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn. Thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at the Bob Davis Podcast. Thanks for, if you haven't, I shouldn't say thanks, but please do sign up for the Bob Line newsletter. It's right above the picture of Mobile Podcast Command right there at the BobDavisPodcast.com. And as always, really appreciate the likes and shares and favoriting on Facebook and Twitter, even though I hate Twitter. And I hate Facebook. But I do love Instagram, and I'm the Bob Davis Podcasts at Instagram. Love Instagram. And again, thanks for your donations for everything and signing up for the newsletter at thebobdavispodcast.com. I've gone on much too long. So here is my official goodbye for this week. Bye-bye.